Welcome to Eureka Street Crypto. This is my anti-professional crypto channel. I'm just a barely sane dude who fell down the cryptocurrency rabbit hole. This channel is my fumbling attempt to communicate myself outside my own head about my journey in the crypto space. It is basically my brain dump. None of this is actual financial advice.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you are Eureka Street Crypto, broadcasting live from Leander, Texas, just a suburb outside of Austin. It is 5:42 in the morning, and it's November 30th, 2021, the last day of November. Tomorrow is December 1st, and the last day of 2021. It's been a unforgettable year, to say the least. And I'm still here, broadcasting live every single day. I've been doing this every single day since February 6th, 2021, and I've been doing this show since October 24th, 2020. Between October 24th, 2020 and February 6th, I was trying to find a time to do it, and working out the process. And if you watch some of those early episodes, wow, I guess it's kind of a world of difference. Definitely, I feel like I've come a long way as far as my crypto knowledge, as far as my knowledge of learning how to do all this stuff, being comfortable on camera, even learning how to articulate this stuff. It's been an amazing experience. It's been fun. I've met a lot of people along the way, had some great guests on here. I've done other podcasts as well. I wouldn't trade it for the world. This is my video blog, aka Morning Brain Dump. And every single morning I talk about things in crypto that I learned the previous day or just over time, and suddenly something might click and I want to talk about it. And through videos, podcasts, articles, books that I read and stuff like that. And this is just my chance to be able to articulate that. So that's all it is. Not financial advice, not fundamental analysis, not technical analysis, not any type of analysis. It's just entertainment. That's it. So take it for what it is. That being said, let's move on to some of the nitty gritty and see what we have here today. Bitcoin still sitting around 54,308. It looks like it decided to pull up a chair for a little bit. It's all right. Whatever, I can't imagine we'd be sitting there saying that Bitcoin's sitting around. It's the last day of November. A lot of people said it was going to hit 75,000 in November. All the Bitcoin maxis and stuff like that. I think it's unless we suddenly have an explosion in the next few hours of today, I don't think that's going to happen. 75,000. But but either way, whatever. It's not too shabby, man. 54,000 in November. I recall a lot of people saying Bitcoin was going to go to zero. So, there's constant FUD going on. The more successful it is, the more FUD you're going to see. And FUD meaning fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And it just comes with the territory. And when you decide to jump down that crypto rabbit hole and get into that crypto space, you need to kind of sit down, shut up, soak it in, and go along for the ride for a while before you decide to, figure out where you're going to go. Just learn. There is so much to learn in this space, and so many people are coming at it from different angles and backgrounds and have a bunch of different types of opinions on things. But either way, we are all just kind of searching in the dark, and our headlights only go out so far before we can see the road before us. So let's see here. Ethereum sitting at $4,081, quite a bargain. So Ethereum has been a little bit volatile in the past 24 hours and in the past 7 days. It's gone up to around $4,500, now back down to $4,000. Let's see if it actually got below $4,000. I'm really curious about that. Past 24 hours, let me just check out this graph here. CoinGecko's taking its sweet time to load up this morning. It's a Tuesday morning. Monday, everybody, I'm sure, was dragging ass getting out of bed after the Thanksgiving holiday for the Americans. And I always have to keep that in mind for the Americans because, we are the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving. But in a way, we kind of expect everybody, everybody else should celebrate Thanksgiving, not because we wouldn't necessarily want to celebrate some, you know, a celebration of colonialism and stuff like that over the indigenous peoples, but just a chance to get together and take off of work and be, you know, and take some time to be reflective and be thankful, for, your family and your friends and what you have in life, and, to really just take off of work and just do that and gather with people. That's what I'm thankful for Thanksgiving. And it's not, this chart is not loading, but I can see the 24-hour low is, well, $4,302.17. Right now it's at 4,000. So, and then the 24-hour high is 45.33.29. So since CoinGecko is not behaving for me, I will go ahead and yeah. So let's see here. We have Binance Coin, 595.71. Tether, dollar. Solana, 189.51. Cardano, $1.50. XRP, 92 cents. USDC, dollar. Polkadot, 33.71. The Doge, 19 cents. Avalanche, 107.01. Shiba Inu, some weird number, well below zero. Crypto.com, 72 cents. It's weird seeing crypto.com up here in the top 20. Terra, 46.59. Then you got Wrapped Bitcoin. If you don't know what Wrapped Bitcoin is, for those of you who are new, anytime you see a wrapped token, but Wrapped Bitcoin in particular, Bitcoin doesn't allow you to participate. It doesn't have smart contracts, and smart contracts are needed in order for you to participate in the DeFi space. And DeFi meaning decentralized finance. So you can use your crypto as collateral and you can borrow against it. You don't need a broker, a third party, a middleman, or anybody like that to approve you. You don't have to be an accredited investor. They don't have to go look into your marital history or anything like that, and look at your credit score. All you have to do is have the Bitcoin, and you can go through something like WBTC Cafe and wrap it and put it as an ERC-20 token. And then there you can borrow against it. And you can do that in places like Aave, Compound, and stuff like that. Let me just show you real quick WBTC Cafe. Just real quick. I mean, I didn't mean to go on this little digression, but notice I use Presearch and not Google, because Presearch does not use your information, and it's also a decentralized search engine. So WBTC.cafe. If you have Bitcoin and you definitely want to use that as some kind of collateral for to borrow against for whatever you want to do, if you want to, you know, buy a car, or if you want to borrow against it and pull it out and invest it in other DeFi spots and, you know, leverage out and have multiple sources of yield. WBTC Cafe has migrated to Badger Bridge. Please follow the link to begin new transactions. Okay. Interesting. Badger Bridge. I don't know much about Badger. I'm going to have to look into Badger. So if you have existing transactions, view the legacy interface. Well, you can kind of see, here's what it was. You would convert the, you would connect your wallet and you would convert the amount of Bitcoin to the Ethereum destination address. And then, yeah, there's some slippage and then of course the fees, and the fees aren't that much, and it shows you how much you will receive. And so you get your wrapped Bitcoin as an ERC-20 token. Then you could go to platforms like Aave or Compound or Yearn Finance or whatever and borrow against it as collateral. And, you would have more disposable, income, I guess, to use for other types of DeFi platforms, to use that to borrow against that and earn yield. And, you know, so multiple levels of yield you could earn there. So let's see here, app.badger.finance/bridge. Let's see what that looks like. I've never been there. So you learn something new every day. Even sometimes whenever I'm on this show and I am broadcasting live, I am still learning something new. So let's see here. app.badger.com. And I've seen Badger around, and I've seen, oh, it's on the Binance chain. Oh, wait, no, my MetaMask is on the Binance chain. Let me go over here to the Ethereum chain. See, I have in my MetaMask, I have all these different RPCs. Let me just switch to another account and I will switch to a different chain. Let's go over here to, instead of Binance Smart Chain, I'm going to go to Ethereum. I will expand my view so I can show you what I mean. MetaMask It's no longer just Ethereum, right? MetaMask is, MetaMask was started out as an Ethereum wallet, right? And it's for your browser, but MetaMask is now being used for several different types of chains. And all you have to do is go into here and all you have to do is basically do a search of like, say, Polygon RPC MetaMask, and that's it. And you'll find the instructions for how to set up your MetaMask. So I can switch over to the Polygon chain here. I can switch over to the Matic chain. Here's Meter. Here's a Mumbai testnet, Volta, Arbitrum, Optimism. Here's Huobi. Here's XDAI, Binance Smart Chain, Energy Web. You know, here's a bunch of other test networks. And then if I even want to do a local test network or whatever, you know. And then here you would go to add network. And then here's where you enter in all the stuff, your network name, your new RPC URL that you'll get from that search. So let's say, for instance, let's go to Polygon MetaMask. So I had somebody yesterday asking about NFTs on MetaMask and then RPC. NFTs on Polygon, excuse me. So I just did a search in pre-search, Polygon MetaMask RPC. And then here it pulls up, configure Polygon on MetaMask documentation. Obviously, you want to look out for scams. So docs.polygon technology, that's a pretty legit one right there. And then the course of YouTube is going to have a billion videos of guys like me sitting there going, hey, you know, smash that like button. Yeah, all right, guys. All right, so configure Polygon on MetaMask. And so here, and it just gives you the old, you know, spiel. You know, this is Polygon documentation, so it's solid. So right there, you see the exact same thing that I just showed you, except you're not going to use Kovan testnet. Polygon mainnet, new RPC RPC URL, chain ID, and then the currency symbol is optional, and same thing, the block explorer. But it's always good to put that stuff in there. So in case you have a question about a transaction, you can immediately go click on it and it'll automatically take you to the block explorer. And you can see everything that is happening on the blockchain live and direct. Okay. So anyway, I don't know how I got on that tangent. Let's check out this here. All right. So let's go back to the Badger thing here. So let's check this out. Badger. So IBTC curve. So you can lock in things into Badger. You can get all these variable APRs, some pretty healthy APRs here. It's a hell of a lot better in a bank, that's for sure. So I know zero about Badger. I'm just sitting here just going in and just taking a look. So the bridge, so RenVM is technology. That's what WBTC Cafe was based on, was RenVM type of technology. And RenVM is a type of trusted execution environment in your computer where it does, it's a kind of a cloaked node. It's an isolated node, I guess, that allows this type of wrapped Bitcoin action to happen. And it's really difficult to explain. And I've talked about it in a past video, right when I had all the documentation up in front of me. I did a wrapped Bitcoin video a little less than a year ago. And I explain all this in detail and what trusted execution environments are, what dark nodes are and stuff like that. And that's the whole premise behind RenVM. And I think Ren is a powerful technology, and I do hold some Ren tokens. It's just kind of one of those that works a little bit under the hood. So anyway, here you would connect, and you would be able to put your Bitcoin in here and see how much RenBTC you get back. And RenBTC is basically the same as wrapped BTC. BTC. And then if you really desired, you could, because a lot of these platforms, these DeFi platforms, don't take RenBTC, they take wrapped BTC. So then all you would have to do is just go to an exchange and exchange that RenBTC for wrapped BTC. It should be equal, you know, in value. And then from there, you can go to the DeFi platforms and get what you need done. There's a lot of stuff here that you can do with it. So interesting, man. I'll have to do a little video and dig a little deeper into Badger. You know, you learn something new every day. Okay. So the other day I did a video on Sunday and it got really good reception as far as being a crypto lawyer and can hacking be lawful, written by Eagle Lex. And I went through this article and it was a really good article. And it talked about, you know, code is law. Yes, code is law. And, you know, however, is code really law when it comes down to the brass tacks of somebody kind of abusing the fact that code is law? But if, you know, somebody were to find some kind of exploit in there and were to use that code for their own selfish purposes, that violates some kind of societal contract. For instance, this 18-year-old college student found some kind of exploit where he could squash the value of that token. And then he went and minted it and bought a ton of it. And then, you know, basically drained the value out of a lot of people's tokens in that contract. However, when he was taken to court, he was defended because he was saying, well, I was only doing what the code was allowing me to do. And technically, that is true, but he was still violating a social contract. And here's what a lawyer had to say about that. Code is not law. Law is law. And what you did was a clever trade, in quotes. It was market manipulation. It's illegal and people go to prison for it. And most lawyers in the world would probably agree with this lawyer, Gottlieb. But it is also true that there's an argument that may be used in favor of the perpetrator. This argument invokes one of the main claims of blockchain technology and smart contracts, namely that code is able to eliminate the need for intermediaries by producing predictable outcomes. In addition, the exploitation could be seen as a failure of Index Finance, this platform that it was on, of their smart contracts. So, yeah, you know, one could easily argue that the code used to create the smart contract does not represent the entire social agreement surrounding the use of a given protocol. Making individual gains by destroying the wealth of a community should be seen as unacceptable and a violation and more of this holistic social agreement. So, yeah. So while what that kid did was shiesty, it's interesting that, he is technically not guilty. I mean, he's guilty, but if you go according to the mantra, code is law, he did not bend or break or alter or do anything to the code. All he did was just kind of dance around it. So anyway, the reason I bring all this stuff up is I found in here this link. So the creation of a space which is not bound by the laws of nation is advocated by Barlow's Declaration of Independence of the Cyberspace. It seems that blockchain technology may not permit this utopian dream to materialize smoothly, as we saw in that illustration about that kid kind of using that code to his advantage. Rather than breaking the code as law, he used it to his advantage, but he broke the societal contract. So many operators in the industry are aware that not all blockchain-based applications comply with existing laws in our current geographical society, especially when it comes to highly regulated financial services, anti-money laundering provisions. Nevertheless, many users of blockchain protocols believe that code and smart contracts are an expression of private autonomy and contractual freedom. This may substitute for traditional contractual agreements. Okay, so let's go take a look at this Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace, of the cyberspace. So a lot of hackers and a lot of people creating smart contracts and a lot of people in the blockchain space want to get away from traditional law. And a lot of people in the metaverse want to get away from the traditional law because they say your geographical nation state laws do not apply to us. So what does law look like in the metaverse or in the blockchain space and DeFi? How can the SEC and CTFC sit there and enforce laws in one geographic locale when the platforms that they're using are being used all over the world? So here's a Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace. This was written, I believe, back in 1996. Wow. You know, so I was about 19 or 20 years old. So a Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace. I'm going to read this. Okay. By John Perry Barlow. Governments of the industrial world, you weary. This is well ahead of its time. I mean, this is well ahead of blockchain. And so this is right about the time whenever Joe Biden was sitting there trying to install the Clipper chip into everybody's computers to have a backdoor for the government to spy on you. So it seems like he's still up to his old shenanigans, isn't he? Right? I don't mean to get political, but the guy does not. And you got to hand it to him, even as he's pooping his pants, he's still on course trying to spy on you through your computer. A Declaration of the Independence of Cyberspace by John Perry Barlow. Governments of the industrial world, you weary giants of flesh and steel, I come from cyberspace, a new home of mind. On behalf of the future, I ask you of the past to leave us alone. You are not welcome among us. You have no sovereignty where we gather. We have no elected government, nor are we likely to have one. I address you with no greater authority than that which with liberty itself always speaks. I declare the global social space we are building to be naturally independent of the tyrannies you seek to impose on us. You have no moral right to rule us, nor do you possess any methods of enforcement. We have true reason to fear. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. You have neither solicited nor received ours. We did not invite you. You do not know us, nor do you know our world. Cyberspace does not lie within your borders. Do not think that you can build it as though it were a public construction project. You cannot. It is an act of nature and it grows itself through our collective actions. I'm going to highlight that part right there. Okay. You have not engaged in our great and gathering conversation, nor did you create the wealth of our marketplaces. You do not know our culture, our ethics, our unwritten codes that are already provide our security, our society more order than could be obtained by any of your impositions. You claim there are problems among us that you need to solve. You use this claim as an excuse to invade our precincts. Many of these problems don't exist. Where there are real conflicts, there are wrongs. Where there are wrongs, we will identify them and address them by our means. We are forming our own social contract. This governance will arise according to the conditions of our world, not yours. Our world is different. Cyberspace consists of transactions, relationships, and thought itself. Arrayed like a standing wave in the web of our communications, ours is a world that is both everywhere and nowhere, but it is not where bodies live. We are creating a world that all may enter without privilege or prejudice accorded by race, economic power, military force, or station of birth. We are creating a world where anyone anywhere may express his or her beliefs, no matter how singular, without fear of being coerced into silence or conformity. Your legal concepts of property, expression, identity, movement, and context do not apply to us. They are all based on matter, and there's no matter here. Our identities have no bodies, so unlike you, we cannot obtain order by force. Physical coercion. We believe that from ethics, enlightened self-interest, and the commonwealth, our governance will emerge. Our identities may be distributed across many of your jurisdictions. The only law that all our constituent cultures would generally recognize is the golden rule. We hope that we will be able to build our particular solutions on that basis, but we cannot accept the solutions you are attempting to impose. In the United States, you have created a law, the Telecommunications Reform Act, which repudiates your own constitution and insults the dreams of Jefferson, Washington, Mill, Madison, de Tocqueville, and Brandeis. These dreams must now be born anew in us. You are terrified of your own children, since they are natives in a world where you will always be immigrants. Because you fear them, you entrust your bureaucracies with the parental responsibilities you are too cowardly to confront yourselves. In our world, all the sentiments and expressions of humanity, from the debasing to the angelic, are parts of a seamless whole, the global conversation of bits. We cannot separate the air that chokes from the air upon which wings beat. In China, Germany, France, Russia, Singapore, Italy, and the United States, you are trying to ward off the virus of liberty by erecting guard posts at the frontiers of cyberspace. These may keep out the contagion for a small time, but they will not work in a world that will soon be blanketed in a bit-bearing media. Your increasingly obsolete information industries would perpetuate themselves by proposing laws in America and elsewhere that claim to own speech itself throughout the world. These laws would declare ideas to be another industrial product, no more noble than pig iron. In our world, whatever the human mind may create can be reproduced and distributed infinitely at no cost. The global conveyance of thought no longer requires your factories to accomplish. These increasingly hostile and colonial measures place us in the same position as those previous lovers of freedom and self-determination who had to reject the authorities of distant, uninformed powers. We must declare our virtual selves immune to your sovereignty, even as we continue to consent to your rule over our bodies. We will spread ourselves across the planet so that no one can arrest our thoughts. We will create a civilization in the mind of the mind in cyberspace. May it be more humane and fair than the government, than the world your governments have made before. This took place in Davos, Switzerland, February 8th, 1996. So that was in 1996 when the internet was just coming about. And already they had these big ideas of the internet being this big cyberspace where ideas could roam free and wouldn't be censored. And now we have the birth of the metaverse. I mean, it's like all over the same thing, you know? And you have Facebook sitting here trying to create the gates of cyberspace and I'm sure that the same principles of censorship will apply in the metaverse, according to Facebook, as it would back then, according to, you know, Joe Biden's cyberspace and the Clipper chip and everything like that, that he was trying to put into people's computers. Yeah, you can't bring these outside concepts into something that is transnational and now not even of our own physical dimension in the metaverse. Really interesting stuff, and to see how we've come so far, yet not far at all. We are still dealing with the same types of gating and censorship issues. We are still dealing with people trying to impose their regulations and their laws and things in the physical world in places where they do not fit. And we're still getting people trying to create geographic physical laws that apply to things that are transnational and non-physical. So it's this is a crazy time to live in. That's all I have to say. This was a great piece, a declaration of the independence of cyberspace. I will link this. It's part of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org. Now, between this and the Nakamoto Institute, I mean, there is an entire arsenal of literature to read. I mean, I opened up this website and I was just blown away. It's a total fire hose of information. And I hope to explore this website a lot more. I mean, as you can see already here, the John Perry Barlow Library. I mean, there is so much here. A plain text on crypto policy, decrypting the puzzle palace. Leaving the physical world. Oh my God, there's so much stuff here. It's insane. And then over here, let's take a look at some of these white papers, and there's legal cases. There's press releases, Deep Links blog. So here's some white papers and Electronic Frontier Foundation transition memo to incoming Biden administration. And it has all these links of different contents and introductions of surveillance, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, facial recognition technology, border search and immigration surveillance, and then Unfiltered, how YouTube's content ID discourages fair use and dictates what we see online. Here's an article down here. Let's see here. Got to catch them all. How IMSI catchers exploit cell networks. Who has your back? Censorship edition 2019. Caught in the net. The impact of extremist speech in quotes, regulations on human rights content. Wow. I mean, this is just so much stuff in here. It is insane. This is the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So I liken this similar to the Nakamoto Institute.org. And again, here you will find a fire hose of information from all different types of cypherpunks. So let's see, just click on this literature link. And I mean, you have everything from Satoshi Nakamoto to Wei Dai to Adam Back to Ralph Merkel, the inventor of the Merkel tree, to Timothy May, one of the original crypto cypherpunks. The Crypto Anarchist Manifesto, he wrote that. That's kind of a similar piece to what I just read. It's interesting how there's some parallels in it. So here's the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto. Again, it's kind of a short piece. And, Computer technology is on the verge of the ability for individuals and groups to communicate and interact with each other in a totally anonymous manner. Two persons may exchange messages, conduct business, and negotiate electronic contracts without ever knowing the true name or legal identity of the other. Interactions over networks will be untraceable via extensive rerouting of encryption packets and tamper-proof boxes, which implement cryptographic protocols, which nearly perfect assurance against any tampering. Reputations will be of central importance, far important in dealings than even the credit ratings of today. And this is amazing. He called this in 1988, and he's talking about digital reputation, digital ID, and this whole idea of, you know, so it's just insane of you know, our digital reputation being following us through our transactions on the blockchain. So the state will, of course, try to slow or halt the spread of this technology, citing national security concerns, use of the technology by drug dealers and tax evaders, and fears of social disintegration. Many of these concerns will be valid. Crypto anarchy will allow national secrets to trade freely and will allow illicit and stolen materials to be traded. An anonymous computerized market will even make possible abhorrent markets for assassinations and extortions. Various criminal and foreign elements will be active users of CryptoNet, but this will not spread, halt the spread of crypto anarchy. Just as the technology of printing altered and reduced the power of medieval guilds and social power structure, so too will cryptologic methods fundamentally alter the nature of corporations and of government interference in economic transactions. Combined with emerging information markets, crypto anarchy will create a liquid market for any and all material, which can be put into words and pictures. And just as a seemingly minor invention like barbed wire made possible the fencing off of vast ranches and farms, thus altering forever the concepts of land and property rights in the frontier West, so too will the seemingly minor discovery out of an arcane breach of mathematics come to be wire clippers, which dismantle the barbed wire around intellectual property. Arise, you have nothing to lose but barbed wire fences. And this is, that's just a little snippet out of the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto by Timothy May in 1988. I mean, between 1988 and 19, the other one that I read by Barlow was written in 1996. I mean, you have this wave of new consciousness coming about. And that was just a precursor to what we're seeing, you know, nowadays, with the inception, the birth of the metaverse coming. And these same, just all we have to do is look back at how everybody was scrambling around, scared, trying to regulate this. And we are going to see that. So a lot of people sit there and forecast some kind of dystopia happening, you know, with a social credit score and AI and everybody being imprisoned as basically batteries in this matrix, where our physical bodies will be neglected and we will just be stuck in this metaverse prison in a way. That's not the case, I don't think, because always people try to find, and they do find, ways around the gatekeeping that happens in these types of systems. And people are creative, and they yearn for liberty, and they make it happen. And the powers that be always are on the wrong side of history when they try to crack down on this stuff, because liberty always seeps through and finds a way. Anyway, that was an interesting little rant of an episode this morning. I hope you enjoyed it. I got to get on to work. I'm running a little late this morning, so I'm going to try to get the podcast up first, and I'll take care of the video platforms later. All right. Well, that being said, I hope you guys have a great day, and hit me up on Twitter, Eureka John, the number one, and shoot me a DM if you have any suggestions, you know, on YouTube or whatever. Give a like, or, you know, that helps, I guess. I don't really keep track of stats all that much. All right. Well, I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.